Praise God. God is good. And his mercy endureth forever, right? What's going on here with this miracle working in progress? We know it is. There's already, look at that, picking that leg up like she is. It's just glorious to see God do these things. Can you shout amen with me? Hallelujah. You may be seated. This time in Kentucky has been unlike any other time. It's been amazing. It's been incredible. It's like all of these years, we've been building up to this time. And I believe Mike said it was my 8th year at the Senate and the House. And I praise God for that. And I believe yesterday was a capstone, and that the, you know, he preaches and teaches through my prayer, because that's what you're asked to do. And so they're not asking for the preaching and the teaching, but they're asking for the invocation. And I honor God and give God the glory. And it's like when I was in Oklahoma those years, I said, God, why Oklahoma? And he said that the revival spirit had jumped from California to Oklahoma. And then it jumped from Oklahoma to Kentucky. And so I know that I know that I know that this state is destined to be a light in the darkness of this nation. And I give God the glory for it. And praise God for the mantle. If you're under me, which by sitting here, you're under me. And certainly some of these on the front row or whatever. But I want to tell you, you have that anointing. It's not just something that is on me, but it comes out through the words of my mouth. And I love, I asked Mother one time if she thought I should run for politics. Of course, I was joking because I was in the ministry. And but it was so beautiful to see God work and bring about miracles. And what I went away with yesterday from the Capitol were these words in my thoughts, and an absolute happening of it at that time yesterday. God has the last word. God has the last word. And to see him doing that and speaking that, it was an awesome thing. Awesome. And I am glad. I am so glad to be with you and to be a part of what God is doing. And I don't believe this time tonight is a mistake or an addendum or anything, but that God is concluding something wonderful for our time together in Kentucky. And it's so wonderful to see sister. In fact, did you call her Greta? Greta, when this happened to Greta and she came in and so forth, they brought her in, and I came out of that room and I said, nope, that's not the message that I thought I would be given. So I'm going to an entirely another lesson. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. Absolutely. One of the most meaningful scriptures to me is that you finish, you perfect what you start. And you've started this with Greta, and you started with us, and you've started this time in Kentucky. And there's absolutely no question in my mind or heart that you're going to finish it, you're going to complete it, and then you're going to perfect the work in the atmosphere and in each and every person that has received your word. Because it is when we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying that we hear, and to hear means to say. So we are willing and we are obedient. And because we are, Isaiah 1:19 says, we eat the good of the land and we praise you for it. And I praise you that after this night, when we walk out of this building, we're going to walk with a new anointing to take the land of the United States of America. And we're not going to settle for anything else but the will of Almighty God to take over this nation, and we take it over person by person and little by little. But as your people founded America for you, Lord, it shall be in the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the word of truth, for we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Amen. Turn, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 2 and verse 11. And of course, the praise and worship was wonderful. And thank you all for that. And your selection of songs just absolutely just said, okay. It was confirmation anyway before I left out and when I came back that we are going in this direction. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. We're going to talk about the glory of Almighty God tonight. As a glory miracle is taking place in our midst, we should know that it is the God of all glory. He is the fountain. He is the source. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. To me, that means master, and to me, that means administrator. And then the Holy Spirit is the manifestor of glory. He carries out the will of God in this earth for us. Amen. So the very first writing in my book, here, this journal that I was given in Hollywood Beach, Florida in November. With the front of it, it says, love never fails. And it is the love of God that absolutely never fails. Never fails. I've lived to see that. And yet I don't think I've seen what I'm going to see. It's just getting absolutely awesome. And we were speaking on the way over here of such work and outpouring of glory and what the Lord had done in these meetings. And I said, you know, he's working so quickly. And suddenly and surprisingly, I was as more surprised than anybody at last night's service over there. It was incredible. But when you follow Jesus, one moment at a time, you're going to have those surprises. You're going to have those suddenlies, because we just cannot imagine. We can't even think of, and we certainly can't tell him what we need, because he knows what we need. Amen. But I started writing in this actually November the 25th, 2015. And it's going to lead up to what God told me about 2016. November the 25th, 2015, I had a night vision. And I could not return to sleep. I was in a rather large room where a number of people had gathered. But I sat as though alone. People were gathered in groups of two or three or more, and they were laughing, and they were talking, enjoying the fellowship or the company or whatever. But I was caught up in the Spirit, lifting my voice in praises to God, the Most High. The angels were singing. The light and the glory filled the vision, and that same light and glory enveloped me. I saw by the Spirit an individual who I knew standing far away in the left corner. She was critically saying to another, I think it should be more gentle. I continued on experiencing the heavenly presence of the Lord. And then when I awoke having this experience in the Holy Ghost. And I went about doing what I was appointed to do for that day. And unexpectedly, a few hours later, the prophetic word for 2016 came. And he said, quotation mark, 2016 will be a year of glory. 2016 will be a year of glory. There will be revelations, visions, dreams, miracles, Greta, signs and wonders. If you can believe, you shall see the resurrection glory and power of the Father and the Lord of glory and the Spirit of glory and the glory of my word. Some will mock and be critical. There will be disbelief and no interest and turmoil. But you, in other words, give that absolutely no attention. Don't give it a thought. Don't give it a word out of your mouth. You seek me. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on me, and you shall surely see my glory. And then he proceeded. That was the end of the statement. Of his declaration for 2016. And then I began to write down scriptures. I want to, because of the vision that Jack had last night about the large campfire and about it burning ever so high and ever so brightly, and that represents really the glory of Almighty God. You may have said that. But when he said the devil put a blanket on it, oh, God, I said, well, I cannot let that slide. Amen. I've got to counterattack that in the atmosphere by the word of the living God. So the first scripture that he gave me after that word was Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5. So, Satan, we know you're hearing this, and it's going to cause you to run. Amen. And then I want Mike to have, he has an ESV translation that he's reading from the scripture. And after I read this, I want him to read that particular translation. And I love translations because they give you just maybe a word sometimes that will give you a whole nother revelation about what God is saying to us. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. God is going to defend his glory. Can you shout amen? And the word there, defense, means a covering and a canopy. But I want Mike to read his translation.
Then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So, you know, he says in Colossians 1:27, Jesus Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. So that glory, he is the Lord of glory. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, really, they're in us. So just think about that over us, because we have the glory of God in us, is a canopy, is a tent, is a glory, and so forth. And you know, that is a picture also of the bride and the groom, the Jewish bride and groom. They are under what is called during their wedding ceremony a canopy, right? Well, it's called a huppah. That's right. It's called a huppah. And they go in there. And the priest or the rabbi performs the wedding ceremony of this bride and bridegroom. I've learned, somebody told me, maybe a Jew, when I was saying that, they said to be under that huppah means a blessing from Almighty God. We are blessed, but as God's glory covers us and we rest under the glory of God, because the glory is in us, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And he said this, my word of glory. Did I read that? And the glory of my word, that we're going to see the glory of his word this year. Absolutely incredible. We have had so much teaching and so much on faith, so much revelation, wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But this year, oh, we're going to see the glory of his word come to pass. Just as Jesus said, you know, in John 11, when, was it Lazarus that died and he waited 4 days? And the Jews believed that after the third day, there was no return to the spirit, to the body. And then you remember Martha said, he stinketh now. It's been 4 days and it's just too late for you to do anything. Brothers and sisters, he was dead. But he heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, say, Lazarus, come forth. And he had nothing. Absolutely, he could not do anything else but to come forth. But he came forth, and God gave me this revelation when I went somewhere in Kansas as I was a student at Rima in the 70s, and I ministered on that then. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth in grave clothes. And what God has done, he has put into you and me the anointing and the glory of Almighty God. And even when faced with a miracle need like Greta had, when she came in here, we have that in us because Jesus is the miracle worker and the Holy Ghost is the miracle worker and God is the miracle worker. But you remember Martha came running to him and he said, haven't I said unto you, Martha, that I am the resurrection and I am the glory. I am the life. Can you shout amen? And with that life is going to glow, you know, glory goes with that. Well, we get a measure of that when we're born again, right? But I'll tell you, saints, I went from childhood, I cannot remember, 7 years of age, I knowingly received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I was sprinkled as a Methodist girl. But I tell you, September the 21st, 1969, when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's when I began to know the Word of God and I began to know the Lord God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's when I said to that pastor, you have to baptize me in water. I've got to go under. Do you understand? As a Methodist girl, I didn't ever want to do that because I didn't want to come up with my head wet in church and everybody see me. Didn't matter at the swimming pool. Didn't matter at the lake, but it mattered in church. But the next Sunday night, when he put me under that water, I'm telling you, and I went down under there, but God is my witness. I saw the glory and the light of Almighty God in that baptismal tank. Can you shout amen? And so I'm telling you, it's real, brothers and sisters. It is real. I don't know if you know it or not, but I had a stroke in 2004. But look at me. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm doing great. And oh my, anyway, we're not going to get off on Bobby Jean. Amen. Hallelujah. But I love this, brothers and sisters. I cannot talk about the glory and stay calm. Can you shout? The fire goes with the glory, Jack. The fire goes with the glory. Okay, I don't think you need to see that. Oh, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. Oh, hallelujah. 43 and verse 7. And he said, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. You know, we're not going there, but there are many references in Ephesians chapter 1 that says we are to be to the praise of his glory. Absolutely. In our born again experience, in just being born again, I mean born into this earth, we are created for the glory of God. We're not created for our glory. We're created that we might live a life of glory, all that the glory is, so that our lives will be glorifying Almighty God. Can you shout amen? And when we make that shift and that becomes our motive, that every thought, every word, and everything that we do, we want it to be glorifying Almighty God. That makes life so much easier. It makes it so much better, you know, and all the rest will take care of itself. We don't have to go after that. We want to go after God. Can you shout amen? And then the glory comes and all of that is fulfilled. But you're called to his glory. People over the years have been in the line, you know, and inevitably some will say to me, I am here because I want to know what is the call of God on my life. What does God want me to do? Well, you know, I've never said it before, but I think I shall start saying it. You know, if they ask me that, I will tell them, brothers and sisters, that's one thing I don't do. Because if I told them what they were supposed to do for Almighty God, the first time the devil came around and life got hard, they would say, well, Bobby Jean told me, and then they can get quitted. But when God calls you, brothers and sisters, when God calls me, it doesn't matter if heaven or hell, whatever comes. Can you shout amen? Persecution, affliction. You know God's called you, and because God called you, nobody can stop you. No person, no place, no thing. Nobody can cause you to quit. Nobody can cause you to fail. Woo! Let's give God another clap offering and praise his holy name. I praise God. Don't you praise God? Because I know that everything good comes from Almighty God. Okay, we've said that one. But look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. And we'll be through that verse, begin to see. Okay, let's just go to it first. First Thessalonians. Did I say second or first? Second. Uh-huh. That's where you find him. Okay. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Not us, them. Amen. And the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? You see, the glory is the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is the glory. If he's in the midst, you know, and we do say, and it is true, it's part of the anointing. And we experience that anointing. Well, I taught on the anointing for the whole year, maybe 1981. And I learned a lot about the anointing. But, you know, I have never gotten to that place that Smith Wigglesworth had gotten. I don't know. Maybe I've said I don't have the grace for that. But who is Smith Wigglesworth? You know, the younger generation may not know who Smith Wigglesworth was. But he was a great apostle. I got a hold of his book. Somebody gave me his book. And this was, I won't say the denomination, but this was after I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I was hungry for God. Can you shout amen? I had lived a life walking in the good and the acceptable will of God. Oh, I did everything in the church that was possible for me to do and so forth. But and loved Jesus. But you know what? After I received the baptism of the Spirit, I found out you could not be in peace and joy walking in the good and acceptable will of God. You had to get into the perfect will of God. And so I began to cry out for 9 months. What do you want me to do? And so forth. I don't know how I got off in that. Where did I get off a minute ago? But anyway, oh, and so, you know, the pastor, he shocked me by saying, Bobby Jean, he called me in. I felt like I'd been beaten with that thing that Jesus was beaten with, because I'd gone to a meeting and I had seen the fire. I had seen the wind. And when I came away from that, cause God, there was people, board members and everything. It was a home Bible study, but they were falling out. Their heads were right at my seat. And I would look down and their faces. Brothers and sisters, when they fell, they looked one way. But I watched the transformation of the glory on their faces right before my eyes. And God said, if you don't let him pray for you, you're going to miss me. I know when God speaks to me. So I went up, and I didn't know what I was going up for, but I wanted to go up because God said, and I didn't know about this falling out on the floor, you know. But anyway, I don't know if he ever touched me or if he just pointed at me, but I know the next thing, I was flat on my floor, and not the mine, but theirs. I was flat on the floor. And when I got up, my sweet people, because I'd gone through a lot of broken heart and wounds and so forth. And when I got up, it was like menthol. Menthol was in my whole being. Well, it was in my spirit, man. I didn't think about it or know what it was then, but that's where it was. And everything, all that broken heart, all that wound, everything had gone out with the wind of the Holy Spirit. And do you know what? I was teaching the women's Sunday school class. They had put us way upstairs somewhere, and I was teaching. Glory to God. But then next Sunday, and this was Friday night, it was Good Friday. And then, cause I wanted to do something. I'm a good Methodist. And they weren't doing anything on Good Friday, so I wanted to do something on Good Friday. So that's why I went to the Bible study. I know where I'm going. Just help me remember it, Lord. So anyway, I tell you, I opened my mouth and the fire came, the wind came, and I'm telling you, from Genesis to Revelation, I preached with fire. I preached with anointing. Hallelujah. And you know what? The men began to come and stay outside the hall, and we grew so fast and so furious that they had to put us in the sanctuary. Can you shout amen? And then everybody, they were just slipping there. They'd come in there. And then nobody was, kidding? Slain in the spirit? We didn't know that it was supposed to be done. We just did whatever, and they were slain in the spirit, right in the sanctuary. Can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But things were happening. And that's when he called me in. And he said, nobody is going to say they can go anywhere else and get what they can get here. Wrong. Why y'all amen? Wrong. If it's not happening here, God's doing it somewhere. And I'm going to go where the fire's burning. Can you shout amen? Y'all better shout amen. Hallelujah. I got to fly out of here tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah. But he wants to do it. And you know what he said? He called me in and he said lots of things. But he forbid me to go back. And he said, nobody's going to go somewhere else and say they can get something they don't get here. That's ignorance gone to seed, as Brother Hagin would say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Well, it'll happen here. If we behind the pulpit will get on our faces and quit having our agenda and have the agenda of God. Yeah. And he said, Bobby Jean, you're a leader. I didn't know I was a leader. It's revelation. And he said, people will follow you. I said, but, and I said his name, members of your official board are there. Nobody was following them, though. But let me tell you something. People will follow you. People will follow you. And Greta, when they know who you were and what God's done for you, honey, they'll follow you. So if God wants to give you an anointing to just speak the word and lay hands on people and see them fall. Can you shout amen? Get born again, get healed, get whatever. Glory to God. He's not dead. God's not dead, right? It seems like we have a song somewhere like that, do we? He is alive. God is not dead, brothers and sisters. We are not a monument. We are a movement. Can you shout amen? We are not a monument. Oh, hallelujah. Well, did I ever read it to you? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? That's what sin does for you. It separates you from the presence of the Lord. That's what strife, contention, backbiting, unforgiveness, grumbling, griping, complaining, you name it. Hallelujah. It separates you from the presence of the Lord. Well, my flesh is going to pay any price it has to stay in the presence of the Lord. I'm preaching good, Bobby Jean. You're blessing yourself. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord, saints. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. I mean, with what 1 minute you can say, I forgive. And I ask you to forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. They do not know what they've said. Hallelujah. Have mercy upon them. Bring them to their senses. Because I believe when people get off, they have given over themselves to an unclean spirit. Hallelujah. Because he said, as long as Mark 5, that man, you know, with that 2,000 or 20 legions, whatever it was, of angels, and was doing all that to himself out there in the tombs and everything, wasn't it? And he said he was not in his, well, what he did say, really, said when Jesus delivered him, see, that's something else God told me. Many are going to be delivered in 2016. He told me January the 2nd. Many are going to be delivered in 2016. I've seen 4 homosexuals delivered, healed. Do you know that's a ruling spirit in this nation? And I tell you, we got to bring it down. Can you shout amen? And we got to break its power. Pray about that, my brother. Hallelujah. Let's jump and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Many will be delivered. I don't know where I am. It's all right. I'm drunk. Hallelujah. I'm not supposed to know. Okay. Then he says, and you're going to be punished, which means separation from the glory of his power. That's what sin does. Separates you, punishes you. Your punishment is separation from the glory of his power. People don't know this. I've gotten over it tonight, but I wasn't fully over it last night. When we went to that Capitol yesterday, and there the homosexuals were having a rally in the rotunda. And we stood on the next floor, and I was just astonished and astounded because they are so loud. Can you? It's just so loud. And I just looked and I was overcome. I was overcome. People do not know what they are giving themselves to. And I travel there's hardly, without question, it'll be a grandmother or an aunt or somebody will stand and ask for a loved one who has gotten under the control of that spirit. What am I saying to you? You know, I didn't know what they were talking about. In the mid-70s, and I remember I'd received the baptism in 69, and somebody started talking about deliverance. And I didn't even know what the word meant. And demons being cast out. Well, at that time, that was that misconception. If you're getting rid of a demon, you're vomiting in a bag. Hogwash. Amen. But I did ask the Lord, I said, how do you know somebody's got a demon? I didn't know that you could have discerning of spirits. Mm-mm, I didn't know about it. I didn't know, you know, you could have perception and just pick up on this thing, Patty, whatever. And there's no need to pick it up to talk about it over a cup of tea and crumpets. Amen? But it's absolutely God saying, all right, I want to trust you for that person to be delivered. I want to trust you for that person to be set free. You know what God told me? He said, look in their eyes and you can see where a person is when you look in their eyes. Doesn't Jesus say it? The eyes are the window of the whole body and the soul and so forth. You can look in their eyes and people's eyes changed. I've looked into the face of the devil on a human being's face, changed in hatred and anger. I've looked into eyes that used to be full of the presence and glory of God, but have given themselves over to an unclean spirit, either through offense, which offense leads to everything. I'm not teaching on that tonight unless you want me to, Lord. But then unforgiveness, see. If anybody offends us, and that means have a chip on your shoulder and they knock it off, okay, then the best thing we can do is forgive them. Get on our face, like Jesus says, and pray for them. They don't know what they're doing, you know? Well, okay, Bobby Jean, would you please answer that question? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. How long do you pray for them until God says no more? And there will be a time if people don't heed the prayers, God says, you get out of the way now. As long as you're praying for them, I can't get to them. I've stored your prayers up in a vial, and it's in heaven. Now you get out of the way. Let me get to them. And then all you need to do is praise me. Thank me. Give me thanksgiving. Give me worship that I am going to work on that individual. That I'll do what I need to do to get them where they need to be. Well, then that brings up another question for those of us who pray. Do we put what we want on them and command it to be so? Mm-mm. You know what that's called? White witchcraft. White witchcraft. So how do you pray, Bobby Jean? Father, I bring this individual to you, and I don't know how to pray or what to pray for as I ought, Romans 8:26. But the Holy Ghost knows how to pray. See, I wouldn't take anything for tongues. I wouldn't take anything for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's when my life became life. And I don't know how to pray. I don't know what God can use to wake that individual up. But I know that I can pray. And I know that sooner or later, the hound dog of heaven, as sometimes he's called, are going to get a hold of them. Come, can you shout amen? And going to bring them down to where they need to be brought down, meaning humble themselves in the mighty hand of God so that God can exalt them. Okay? One time in 1982, I was in Chicago, and eight pastors came and knocked on my door, because there were eight. I let them in, and of course I knew who they were. And they wanted me to teach on flaky intercessors. That's what it was. Flaky intercessors. I said, flaky intercessors? Yes. Well, I did. Hallelujah. And I found out some rules for flaky intercessors. One being is that you don't run the pastor and pray your will for the church and on the pastor through your prayers. Flaky. Come on. A lot of other things I learned. But flaky is also praying your will on somebody else. You know, I'm in the ministry. Obviously, I am. I'd like for everybody I come in contact with to be in the ministry. But I've got a grace. They were talking about it on the way. I tell you, you couldn't keep up with me. Amen. Hallelujah. And I've been to almost 50 nations, and I'm not bragging about it. Because I know that if I didn't have the grace of God to do it, I couldn't do it. Ephesians 4:7, to each and every one is given a measure of grace. Well, you see that, one of the people I respect so much are Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. If you don't know what to do, keep your mouth shut. Amen. Hallelujah. Because they are something. Well, they have a grace to do what they're doing that is just, I'm telling you, it's mind-boggling. But you know what? I don't have that grace. Amen? I have a grace to do what I'm doing. Hallelujah. And because of that grace, it has fruit. It bears fruit. But if I just went to do something, it wouldn't bear fruit. Now, I don't know why this is coming up a second time. Been on my mind really today and tonight. But maybe it's for Greta. I don't know. And her fiance. I don't know. But let me tell you. I was in Jamaica about 1980. And a little church. And I believe it was at Montego Bay, right in there. And so I finished ministering and sat down. And the pastor got up and he said, some men have brought a woman and they want you to pray for her. Will you pray for her? Yes, sir. And so I got up, stood up, and so two men started bringing this woman down the aisle. Now, you're not the one like that woman, Greta, but started bringing this little woman down the aisle. She was skin and bones. And she was like a rag doll as they brought her down the aisle. And I stepped down, and they stood her before me. And they held on to her because she had slumped down to the floor at that. And I looked into her eyes, and they were bloodshot. And so I have a bloodshot eye. Vessel broke yesterday sometime. Too much pressure, I guess, up there at Capitol. But anyway, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. It'll be all right in the morning. So anyway, but her little eyes were just bloodshot. Yeah, and just rolling around. And so I took authority. Oh, the devil, the spirit of death. and cast that devil out of her. And I knew it'd gone. So I said to those men, let her go. They looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, turn her loose. Let her stand. Well, they just, you know, but they obeyed. And that woman stood. So I took her arm and we started walking down the aisle. And we walked back and she got stronger and stronger with every step. And they told me later that what had happened, that a shaman, whatever they call them over there, shaman had put a curse on her. Witchcraft that wasn't white. Black witchcraft. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that she was cursed with a spirit of death. And they meant that woman to die, and had not Jesus delivered her and set her free, she would have died. Glory. That was January. I think it was a New Year's Eve conference. And then in April, I was back. 150 new converts were being baptized in the beautiful Caribbean Sea. And one of them was that woman. Hallelujah. And then I was back the next New Year's Eve. And I'm sitting, they've rented now this convention thing, and or some kind of big building. And I'm sitting there, and saints, I've got pictures. I've shown them to professionals. And it is absolutely absolute. Over the platform edge was the red fire streak of the blood of Jesus. And so that fire went up over that pulpit and down and then went on. And, oh, if the glory entered the Greta, do you need something, honey? You okay? Good. Give God a clap offering and praise his name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. And so this woman, beautiful little woman, about where Rebecca was sitting, just came down and she knelt down there, but it was in front of the pulpit, lifted up her face, and the glory was all over her. And the pastor's wife was sitting next to me. She says, you know who that is, don't you? I said, no, ma'am, I don't know who that is. She said, that's the woman that had the spirit of death on her. Can you give God a clap offering? Now, sweet people, we're back. But we're back. We've gone a circle. We're not in the level of the anointing we were in when all of those things happened. We are greater. Can you shout amen? We've got more. Sometimes I have said it. I won't say it again. But we've got to be on guard. Sometimes I used to say, we have grown so much. We know so much that we have just known. We just work God right out of it. We can't do it. We've got to remain children. And we've got to know that we our limit of what we can do and what we can't do. Can you shout amen? And really, we can't do anything without God. We can't do anything without God. But sweet people, I'm telling you, he said, the wind was going to blow tonight. The fire's going to blow. Come on now. You people, I don't care what's happening in Georgetown, Kentucky. They ain't seen nothing yet. Can you shout amen? Or Lexington. This thing is going to be set on fire. Can you shout amen? I'm seeing fire going up from the roof. And they're going to come to see what's burning. But they're going to find out there ain't no burning in the natural. And they're going to look in the windows and see what's going on. And they're not going to come in because they're afraid to come in. But then eventually they're going to come in and they can't stay out. I'm telling you, saints, don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. Even if everybody goes and some more people come, because people are going to come. Can you shout amen? Wherever wherever you are. Give God a clap offering and praise his holy name. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, what time is it? Oh, we've already gone past an hour. Good gracious. You're just speaking by faith. Okay, let's see. Go to 1 Peter 1:8 just to let you just stop right here. Oh, goodness God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Oh, 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had a reason, quote unquote, to just grumble and gripe and say negative things. Anything like that ever happened to you? We pray for liars later. But he's speaking prophetically. I don't know if that's good either. Hallelujah. But when God, I just was shaking my head. And the Lord said, don't speak the negative. Replace that negative with thanksgiving to me. Thank you. And if you can't think of a scripture that is right, the very opposite of the situation, the circumstance, okay, Lord, I see that too. He said, then just start thanking me. Thank me for what? We used to sing it in the Methodist church. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Standing on the promises. Well, today it came to me, I know that's been said we should not say those words, standing on the promises. But it came to me today that Ephesians 6 says, having done all to stand, stand. But I'm going to do the word. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. We got that one, didn't we? Joy unspeakable. God has been giving me so much about joy, about thanksgiving, and about laughter. In fact, I don't know when he's going to, if he was giving it to me for me, I'm sure he was. But I would love to teach somebody laughter. Can you shout amen? I'd love for that to go forth. If you can laugh at the devil, honey, he flees. He has to go 7 ways, right? And you're going to be like God, and I'm going to be like God, I am going to laugh. Can you shout amen? Oh, I know what it was. Okay. If somebody asks you about a circumstance or situation that you have prayed about and you know that you don't want to or you should not talk about that situation and circumstances as it is, what are you going to do about it? God told me what to do. He said, just say, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost about that. Amen. Over and out. And then you've not spoken those ashes back to fire. You have not negated your prayers. You've not negated your confession. I know in 79, my little daughter-in-law, we'd prayed about somebody for something that they wanted. But she called me and she said, oh, I'm so concerned that they are negating our prayers because they were speaking doubt and unbelief to that. And I said, you know what I said out of my spirit? Never thought of it before. We'll pray for her to have circumcised lips and a circumcised tongue. And we did. And it worked. Can you shout amen? God knew it would work. Sometimes we need to, I know I've got a cold too. I've got a meeting. I just feel like he's saying, let's bring this thing to an end now. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, where are we going, Lord? Ooh. Let's do this, and then I can hardly teach on the glory without going to this other. Okay? But Revelation chapter 18:1. Revelation 18:1. And after these things, I saw another angel. Oh, that's another thing, saints. God said in 2016, there are going to be a lot of angel visitations. And I'm not the only one that has gotten that. Hallelujah. And somebody said to me last night, after the close of that service and everything, said, I just felt like angels were in this place. I said, they were. They were. Let me tell you what happened over there, because God said we need it. I just know to follow the Holy Spirit, so I don't even realize I'm doing that, but all of a sudden I found myself at the end service just going and taking somebody by the hand and telling them to go down there, get on their knees and pray. And I'd done that to a few women, maybe a man or so. I think it would not even be more than the fingers on my hand. And then all of a sudden, I found myself pulling a man. Then a man, not pulling, but, you know, taking by the arm, a man. And then we'd gotten right in the center of God's will. And every man in that place, Grace Main, I took by the arm and told him, go to that altar and get on your knees and pray. And God filled that altar, that platform, everything, those steps, with men on their knees bowing before God. Because God said, I need the men. I need the men. The women have taken it long enough. Come on. But God wants the men. And we women don't mind. No, we don't. No, we don't. But I'm telling you, men, your hour has come. Your season has come. And God's going to work in ways that are going to be astounding to you. Okay. It was a beautiful sight, wasn't it? I wept. That kind of glory. You feel that. You feel that person. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. You see, the more glory that is released, it consumes the darkness. The more light is released. 21:23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. I've raised you into another level, saith the Lord. I've brought you up. A year ago, I said, come up higher. And you determined in your heart that you're going to do that. Those who heard that call, that command. Things have come and things have gone. Things have happened and things have not happened. But I never forget my word. I never forget my will. This night, I have brought you supernaturally by my word. For you see, when my word is spoken, it has the creative dimension and power to do what that word says. And have brought you into a level of my glory that you have not experienced before. But not only shall it be from faith to faith, but it shall be from glory to glory in your life. And some of you will begin to have visions, night visions. Some of you will begin to have dreams. Some of you will see angels. Some of you will have revelations, but all of you will understand me more than you have ever understood me ever. And more of you will understand my word more than you've ever understood my word. And more of you, I will say all of you, are going to absolutely know what you're about. When you in your heart say, yes, that's what I'm to be. I'm to be in your glory. I'm to be for your glory so that you may be glorified. Then you shall begin to have revelation upon revelation. And there will be a creative force happen through your words. You're going to rise up and you're going to begin to ask me to put a guard over your mouth. And you're going to begin to work because you see, it is no accident, but it is discipline. And now you know the power of life and death is in your tongue, but you know it in the way of glory. And so there shall be a seeing into it. And I have put a covering over you tonight, for you've understood my glory as you've never understood my glory, not because a woman has taught it, but because the Holy Spirit has manifest my word to you. So my word is yes, and my word is amen. And so I say, Selah, think upon these things, and it shall be granted unto you to know more. And you will see that there will be an open door of glory come your way. First, you're going to begin to see light coming out from under that door. And surrounding that door, as it were. And you're going to be drawn to that light. And that light is going to put out darkness that you have greatly been concerned about. And you're going to begin to walk in the countenance of my glory. You're going to begin to walk with my glory, lightening your face, your countenance. And when you walk into your homes tonight, you're going to walk into my glory, saith the Lord, because my glory is upon you. And people are going to wonder about you. And some of them, yes, will scoff, and some of them will doubt, as I've said before, about the glory. But that's not to concern you. You are not to let it turn you to the left, to the right, or to back, but you are to go forward, forgetting those things that are behind. Let a new day happen for you. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall come pass. come to pass. And you shall be compassed about, encompassed about, circled about with the diadem, with the crown of my glory. And you shall have the gift of discerning, and you shall be able to judge between good and evil as you have never had the level that you're going to have. And my anointing upon you has increased, and like gasoline in a car that makes it run, my anointing is going to make you run when before you've wanted to sit down and give up, you'll never feel that way again, because I am holding your right arm and your right hand, and I am glory, saith Almighty God. Praise his holy name. Give him the glory. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've shown your love to us tonight. You've shown your capacity to look beyond in our lives and to see beyond what we even know about ourselves. And thank you that you've begun a new work in us tonight. And we agree that it shall be perfected. It shall be completed. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I'll lay hands on, but I feel like I need to sit down a minute.
The Reverend Mother says she wants to lay hands on people in a little bit, if you want to.